Wendy, Richard and Tim Rice, and only for the second time on the show, Richard Stilgo. Would you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits our producer's attractive secretary, Anne Ling, who has a whistle and a stopwatch to keep the score and also blows the whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And as usual, I will ask our four competitors to speak, if they can, on the subject I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. And we begin the show this week with Richard Stilgo. Richard, the subject, oh, a delightful one, biscuits in bed. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
The last time I was on this program, which was weeks and weeks ago, I didn't do particularly well, so I thought this time... I've been examining the...
Tim Rice, you challenged.
Deviation, hesitation, and repetition.
Which challenge are you going for?
I'll go for the lack of biscuit content in the... i.e. deviation.
Just coming to that.
No, I won't give deviation. Well,
but there again...
I would have given repetition of repeating this
I'll,
time.
I'll challenge for repetition.
It's a bit late now, Peter. You should have challenged before.
I'm not doing very well this time.
No, you are doing very well, Richard, because Tim challenged first. I disagree with his challenge of deviation, so you get a point for an incorrect challenge. You keep the subject. You have 52 seconds left. Biscuits in bed, starting now.
The way to make biscuits in bed. I thought you said that if I possibly wasn't myself, that if I'd be more successful on this program. The way to make biscuits in bed is...
Tim Rice challenge.
Repetition of successful.
Yes, you said
Did
at the beginning, yes.
Last time?
I wasn't very
but
successful
in a complete,
last time,
in a completely
yes.
different voice.
I know. A clever idea, Richard, but no, within the rules of the game, I think I have to say, yes, that was repetition of the word successful. Tim, you have a correct challenge. 43 seconds are left. Biscuits in bed, starting now.
Anybody eating biscuits in bed must be crackers. It is a very dangerous thing to do. Crumbs get everywhere and spoil almost every conceivable nocturnal activity. Who would be crazy enough to consume a...
Richard Stilgo challenge.
I think there was a hesitation there.
There was definitely a hesitation. He was trying to think what he was going to consume while he was in bed. You take back the subject. Biscuits in bed, starting now.
Butter, sugar, and possibly some flour, all mixed together in a bowl, and then stirred around until it's time to put them into a baking dish, which you have greased carefully beforehand, before putting it into an...
Wendy Richard was challenged.
Much as I was enjoying that, it's actually biscuits in bed, and not in a greased baking dish.
No, I do think there was much more of a cooking recipe than biscuits in bed. So I agree with your challenge of deviation, Wendy, and you take over the subject, having gained a point for a correct challenge, and 13 seconds are left, starting now.
Personally, I think eating biscuits in bed is quite a dreadful habit. It doesn't matter if one is consuming Garibaldi's Gypsy Creams or butter.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, indeed. So we've heard from everybody on this first subject, which is nice. And there are 2 seconds left, Peter, very cleverly, got in just before. Biscuits in bed, starting now.
They go with Ovaltine, and it's not my idea of what beds were made for.
Just remind some who may be less familiar with the rules, whoever is speaking, when the whistle goes, gets the extra point. And it is on this occasion Peter Jones, who's equal in the lead with Richard Stilgo at the end of the first round. Wendy, would you take the second subject? It is sunbathing. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
I actually do not approve of sunbathing. It can cause premature aging of the skin, wrinkling, and cancer of the epidermis. When we were just on our holiday recently in rather hot parts of the world, I declined from sunbathing. I didn't come back as suntanned as some of our companions, but I felt it better to be safe than sorry. I did in actual fact have quite a healthy looking glow. In fact, some people said it was the best they'd seen me look for a long time. But
Peter Jones Chung,
repetition of some people.
Another point, and the subject of sunbathing with 29 seconds starting now.
I'm trying to remember the name of that Greek person who was chained to a rock and pecked to death by eagles. I suggest that he might well have invented sunbathing. I'm not too keen on it myself. I don't like people to look terribly leathery like armchairs, you know, when they come back from their holidays. Not even Wendy, but of course she always looks delightfully and has a glow, whatever the time of day or year it is. Though I do think she's terribly disapproving. She's already told us that she doesn't approve of...
Though Peter got off the subject of sunbathing onto the subject of Wendy Richard, nobody challenged for deviation. He kept going till the whistle went. And Peter, it's your turn to begin. The subject is Birmingham. I don't know how much you know about the city, but will you tell us something about it in this game, starting now?
Brum, as it's called by some of the locals. Gilbert Keith Chesterton went there via Beachy Head, or he did in the poem, probably quite a good route to Birmingham, because they're always spilling lorries, aren't they, or their loads are falling off on the M1, and it might,
Tim Rice challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
I don't think there would have been lorries in Chesterton's time. Was it Chesterton he was going on about?
No, he did establish the M1 before that. And the M1 was certainly not in existence in Chesterton's time.
Exactly.
And
that's
therefore, lorries are on the M1, so I don't think he was deviating. He went from Chesterton, he had to keep going, he went on to the M1, which now goes to Birmingham, and he talked about lorries. I think his thought processes were perfectly straightforward, so I disagree with your challenge.
But it's just taken you 2 minutes to explain them.
I know. It just shows you how fair I like to be within the rules of just a minute.
And the M1 doesn't go to Birmingham, but we'll leave that.
Yes, I took the roundabout route to Birmingham, right. So, Peter, you have a point for an incorrect challenge. You keep Birmingham, and 43 seconds left, starting now.
On a personal note, I did my very first broadcast from Birmingham ages ago, and I had 4 lines in a play, and we rehearsed for the same number of days, so there was one day for each of the other things that I said.
Hesitation.
Yes, indeed, Tim Wright. 29 seconds for you on Birmingham, starting now.
Magical city of Birmingham has 3 major football teams, viz. Aston Villa, who play at Villa Park.
Silga.
Repetition of Villa.
Yes, if you start to show off your knowledge of football, then... Don't you? Richard, you got him with a correct challenge on 21 seconds on Birmingham, starting now.
People are always very rude about the city of Birmingham. For some years...
Tim Rice challenge.
Deviation. I began by saying it was a magnificent city.
That's true.
Well, some people do say, but not you, Tim.
No, he said people are always rude about Birmingham, and I was not. Therefore, that was a deviation. He was inaccurate.
I was going to crawl to the city council as well later on.
He didn't say all people are always rude. He just said people are always rude.
I think he's right, Nicholas.
I've never known such generosity. 15 seconds left, Tim. Birmingham starting now.
The most stupid audience I've ever come across was from Birmingham. And they disagreed with every conceivable intelligent point of view about football teams from that country.
He's against that.
You mentioned football before.
You mentioned football before.
I think he's right.
Yes, yes. Still trying to show off your knowledge of football. But there are 5 seconds on Birmingham with you, Peter Jones, starting now.
2 decades later, I was asked to go there again for another performance. But it didn't happen.
Peter Jones was once more speaking as the whistle went and has increased his lead at the end of that round. And Tim Rice, your turn to begin. The subject is commercial free gifts. Can you tell us something about those that happened to all of us through the post and elsewhere, starting now?
I would like to deal with this topic in 5 principal categories. Firstly, the reaction of the consumer on being told he has been given a commercial free gift.
Wendy, Richard...
Well, actually, I think I've made a ricket, because I thought there was 2 commercials.
No, commercial is on the...
I beg your pardon, Mr. Rice.
And so you pick it up again, Tim, with 50 seconds to go. Commercial-free gifts starting now.
Thirdly, what about the damage this can do to the economy? People have never thought, when issuing these reckless free presents around the shop, just how much harm they can do to goods that have to be paid for and earned by toil, honest sweat, blood. I wish somebody would interrupt me.
Peter Jones has.
Well, I interrupted because he wanted someone to. It was kind of...
What do you want to give the challenge?
What?
What is your challenge, then?
Deviation.
Another point to you, Peter. 31 seconds left, starting on commercial free gifts, starting now.
I don't really like receiving these offers because they always prove to be
So Wendy got in with the...
temptation.
Yes, 25 seconds, Wendy, commercial free gifts, starting now.
Commercial free gifts really irritate me. How many of us sitting here have received those letters through the post saying you've won a car, a villa in Spain, a pearl necklace, a gold lighter or watch or whatever? And really, all they want to do is to get you along to some office, not too far from here, I might add, and try and force you into buying some timeshare place. And when you get there, you find you haven't won anything at all.
Wendy, you kept going very fluently to the whistle, Wendy. Have you actually had personal experience of that?
Well, we've had about three letters now, haven't we, saying we've won a car. I would actually love to turn up and see what they said, you know, if you really have got your car or if you've got to buy one of their timeshare places.
Nicholas, there was a great fuss quite recently because Edward Heath got sent one of these things and went along to this timeshare meeting and everybody was sitting there saying, why is Edward Heath there? And Edward Heath was sitting there saying, where's my Ford Fiesta?
And what did they reply in
Baghdad? I think he did it quite deliberately in order to show up the system, and I think it worked very well.
And Richard, it's your turn to begin. The subject is rotten guests. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
It's something I didn't know very much about until about 15 minutes ago when...
Tim Rice challenged.
Two abouts.
With two abouts.
Oh, yes.
Tim, you have a point. The subject, 56 seconds, rotten guests, starting now.
I once had some rotten guests to my humble abode, Johnny Rotten and his family. I was extremely worried about this because I'd heard of the reputation of the said clan. I thought they might spit on the carpet, use foul language, torment the dog, and destroy the wallpaper, which had only recently been placed on several of the walls.
Which had challenged.
Well, I think it was a hesitation.
No, yes. Give over.
Yeah.
No, there was a hesitation. You couldn't remember where you placed your wallpaper.
I was just thinking, was wall a repetition of wallpaper? And I decided not, so I went ahead with confidence.
But it was hesitation. So, Wendy, you have another point. You have the subject of rotten guests. 36 seconds, starting now.
I have had my fair share of rotten guests. When my mother was alive, we had a bed and breakfast hotel. I know all about rotten guests. I know about the ones who sneak out in the morning without paying their bill.
Peter Jones, chance.
Know about, she said twice.
You repeated, I know all
about. It's a brilliant story.
Well, try and get in again, Wendy, and tell us more about it. 23 seconds are left. And it's Peter Jones on rotten guests, starting now.
Well, the guests that I think are rotten are the ones to whom you say, please make yourself at home, and they do. And you can't get rid of them. Week after month, they stay there until they really take up residence, like squatters. And they're, in particular...
Richard Jones.
I thought there was a little hesitation.
It was hesitation, yes, Richard, and you have another point and 5 seconds to tell us about rotten guests, starting now.
One of the worst things that rotten guests can do is not turn up at all, at least not at the time that you say that they are to arrive at your house.
And Richard Stugo was speaking as a whistle when gained that all-important extra point. And he's now in second place behind Peter Jones, our leader. And Wendy, it's your turn to begin. The subject is What I Like, and you have 60 seconds to begin, starting now.
What I like best of all is listening to the Archers on a Sunday morning between 10, 15 and 11. This is my most...
Tim Rice, challenge.
Deviation from the truth. The Archers is 10:15 to 11:15, not 10:15 to 11.
But she only enjoys it from 10:15 to 11.
Was 10:15, had I?
Yes, yes.
How could I forget the last quarter hour? It's always the most exciting.
Exactly.
In that case, repetition of 15.
You can't win, can you?
So, what do we do? What's your challenge, Tim? It was a deviation, then, was it?
Deviation, yes.
Right, yes. Tim, you have the subject of What I Like, and 53 seconds left, starting now.
I like listening to The Archers, but what I like even more is turning in and tuning on to Neighbours, that fantastic Australian soap opera, an Antipodean delight. I am constantly amazed by the beautiful elocution, the wonderful...
Sir Wendy Richards...
Deviation, the man's talking rubbish.
I think the audience applause endorses the correctness of your challenge, Wendy. So you get a point for that.
And 30... You see, these people go and they think you really do watch it.
I do. I love it. I'm telling the truth.
I'm sitting over there next time.
Well, I think that The Archers does deserve all the plugs we're giving it, so I think they do have quality. 38 seconds are left with you, Wendy, on what I like, starting now.
Apart from listening to The Archers, the other thing I like is our little pet cockatiel, Henry. She is... Well,
Tim Rice challenge.
She paused with emotion after mentioning Henry.
It's only because I forgot whether it was a he or a she. There's some confusion over the little Henry.
After all this time, don't you know, Wendy?
Well, we think it's a female.
Why did you call it Henry?
We thought it was a little boy, but now we think it's a little girl.
Oh.
Why?
It's a very kind of bleak life that you seem to lead when the high spots are listening to The Archers and cleaning out the parrot's cave.
If any of our listeners have any ideas on how Wendy could improve the quality of her life, would you please put it on a postcard? But you do keep the subject of what I like, and you have 31 seconds left, starting now.
The other things I like, apart from the aforesaid items and subjects, are walking in the park, especially in the autumn. I do like to see the leaves lying on the ground. I know they make a bit of a mess and some poor soul has to come along and sweep them up. But when you look at the varying shades of gold and red and brown, and you see the bits falling off the trees and fluttering downwards, it really is a most wonderful sight, especially if you live near...
Richard Stilgo, yes.
Hesitation.
Oh, yes, I have to hear
I
just to be sure.
I couldn't think of another word for park. I want to say Regent's Park. I'd already
that
said
that would have been
park,
all right.
I know, and if you kept going for one more second, you'd have got another point.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Richard got in with 1 second to go on what I like, starting now.
Sexing cockatiels is what I like most.
So Richard Stilgo was speaking as was the win, gained an extra point. He's now 1 point behind our leader, who's still Peter Jones. Peter, your turn to begin. The subject is ready money. 60 seconds as always, starting now.
Ready money is what Lane didn't have at the beginning of The Importance of Being Earnest when he was asked about cucumbers because they were preparing the sandwiches for Lady Bracknell. Ready money is a very handy thing to have, as Ken Dodd has found out over the years. But sometimes it can be an embarrassment if you have too much of it locked up in the garden shed. Now, I've never been terribly well off ready money-wise, but would like to acquire some, and if anybody can make any suggestions after the show about ways in which I could earn a few quid, I should be very pleased to indulge them in quite a long conversation. I'm not used to having very extended ones, but I would be prepared to go on until, say, 9:30, if necessary, talking about ready money. If anybody's got a suitcase full of it, I should be even more delighted. But alas, you look a poverty-stricken crowd and are fairly unhappy, I should think, with it. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here.
Well, Pete, I'm delighted to see that ready money really inspired you. It's the first time for a long time anyone, let alone Peter, has kept going for the full 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition or deviating and without being interrupted for any other reason. You're 3 ahead of Richard Stilgo's in second place, and we carry on with Tim Rice to begin the next round, and the subject is dentists. Give us painful or even different experiences on dentists, starting now.
It is amazing how many dentists are Australian. If you hear that particular Antipodean accent, you can put almost every bit of ready money you have on the fact that this gent will be from the place I mentioned. Also coming from that area are cockatiels, but I digress, and this is not something I would...
Richard, still go challenge.
If he digresses, I would imagine that's deviation.
Yes, he is admitting himself that he deviated. So, Richard, well listened, well challenged. A point more to you, 44 seconds on dentists starting now.
The reason that Australians come over here and join the dental profession is because of a thing called bashing the Nash. This is a way of earning enormous quantities of money by being somebody arriving from another country who is already qualified and then joining the National Health, and you get paid more than ordinary dentists who are qualified over here. I've just said the word qualified twice, but it's jolly interesting.
Jim Wright,
isn't it?
Yes, two qualified.
Yes, there were two highly qualified there. Dentist is back with you, Tim, and 28 seconds are left, starting now.
I had an extremely trendy dentist back in the 70s who would plug in super earphones into his patient, which was often me when I was there, and play sensational music while he slowly stoned you out of your skull.
Peter Jones challenge.
Plug earphones into the patient.
Well, you can. I mean,
you're absolutely right, Peter. The mind boggles at the thought. Correct challenge. 16 seconds on dentists, starting now.
Another trendy thing, they've done away with the chairs, and now they have the patients lying down on their backs. And I think quite soon they'll be lying on their stomachs
so that they
can have easier access to their wallets.
Too long.
Oh, Peter, the joke was worth waiting for. But Tim did challenge you before you got to the payoff. What was it, Tim?
Two lines.
There were two lines, I'm afraid. So, Tim, you're back with 7 seconds on dentists, starting now.
With music in my ears, he would...
Richard, still go challenge.
Repetition of ears.
That's right, they were plugged into your ears before and there was music in your ears this time. Richard, you're catching up on our leader, Peter Jones. You have 5 seconds on dentists, starting now.
I don't know whether it's the smell that's worse or the noise of the drill, but that particular scent...
is then speaking and the whistle went again, that... extra point again, and he's now one behind our leader, who is still Peter Jones. And Richard, it is your turn to begin. The subject is old codgers. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
It was one of the Sunday papers. I can't remember which its name was, but they used to answer their letters.
Windy Richard
Charles. It wasn't the Sunday paper, it was the Daily Mirror.
Oh, all right. Well, at least I know now.
The Daily Mirror talked about the old codgers, did it? Mm. Right, well done, Wendy. I'm glad you read your newspapers. 55 seconds on old codgers, starting now.
I used to read the old codgers column in the Daily Mirror. They used to have people write in with various obscure requests and asking for...
Tim Rice challenge.
Hesitation.
Hesitation on the requests. And there are 45 seconds left. Old Codgers with you, Tim, starting now.
I'm at an extremely interesting phase of my life between being a juvenile dynamo and an old codger. It is extremely difficult to relate to this situation. It's called the midlife crisis. And I can tell you one and all, it's hell. You are not getting the sympathy you deserve from your fellow workers or indeed from the public. You are too old to be young and loved and too young...
Wendy, what's your challenge? Wendy, your challenge.
I think we had two youngs, didn't we?
Yes, indeed they did. 21 seconds. Old codgers, starting now.
The old codgers item in the newspaper I mentioned before was really interesting because they dealt with such varied queries, as I said, from people who would purchase.
Tim Rice, challenge.
Repetition.
Of what?
Well, you said, as I said, so you must have repeated something.
She didn't actually repeat anything. She said, as I said, but she was using different words that thought before.
Oh, well, sorry.
So you keep the subject, Wendy. Another point, 9 seconds. Old codgers, starting now.
There are some lovely elderly chaps come into our local we refer to as the old codgers. They're from the Royal Hospital in Chelsea, and they're an absolutely splendid band of gentlemen.
Well, Wendy Richard not only got a point for speaking as a whistle, but gained a number of points in that round and has leapt forward from fourth to third place. And as we go into the last round, it's a very interesting situation. Only one point separates each competitor, and we move into the last round with tension, and the subject is pets. And Wendy, it is your turn to begin. So, cockatiel away if you wish. Starting now.
I used to have a pet dog, a little poodle, that I had for 12 and a half years, and then I also had a pussy cat, which I called Pussy, because I was very imaginative.
I suppose pussycat isn't hyphenated or anything, is it?
Yes, but
some
pussy,
cats
the
are.
Pussy
yes.
Was a cat with a
T. If you'd said a hyphenated pussycat, then we would have known. All right. Tim, I give you the benefit of the doubt, and there are 50 seconds left on pets, starting now.
I have an enormous dog called Tyson, who is a boxer. This is an extremely witty play on words, but it suits him. He is a vicious beast, so I would like to inform anybody in the audience after some ready money from my house not to come near, because this animal will tear you from limb to arm. Or leg.
Wendy Richard Challenge.
Hesitation.
The hesitation, yes, from limb to arm. Wendy, that's justice. You've got the subject back. 29 seconds left on pets, starting now.
After my other pets died, I got a pet cockatiel called Little Henry, who is the love of my life. He or she.
Richard Snugger.
Oh, sorry, she corrected it.
Wendy gets another point for the interruption, and she has 20 seconds to continue on pets, starting now.
Can fly around our flat whenever they wish.
Tim Rice Challenge.
Well, there's only one bird, as far as I can gather. It's confusing, and I think the bird himself probably is in some doubt about that. She just said they fly around.
She did indeed, yes. Tim, you have a correct challenge. I give it to you. Pets, back with you. 19 seconds, starting now.
It is not widely known that there are several pets in this country which are illegal. You are not allowed to keep.
Peter Jones' challenge.
It's very widely known indeed.
Judge on that. Is it widely known or not widely known?
Of course it is. The audience know it is. Of course
I will
is.
Then put it to the superior wisdom and judgment of our delightful audience. Will you please, if you agree with Peter's challenge, cheer for Peter, and if you disagree, then you boo for Tim Rice, and you do it all together now. Yay! I think the cheers have it, which means that they agree with Peter that most people do know this. 14 seconds, pets starting now.
The thing I don't like about having a pet is that one has to leave it at home occasionally or farm it out somewhere. There are little hotels I know that you can leave animals at.
But it's just your chance.
Two leaves. Oh, that's right, yes.
Yes, indeed.
Sorry, it's a very short word.
I know, it's all very tense, it's very equal, and 3 seconds left with Richard Stilgo on pets, starting now.
The Stilgo's family dog is called Patrick, and he is a yellow Labrador. A lot of people refer...
Well, we've reached the end of the show. We have in second place a pairing of Tim Rice and Wendy Richard, but only 1 point behind our joint winners, Richard Stilgo and Peter Jones. What could be fair in the result? It only remains for me to say thank you to all four of them for the wonderful contribution they make towards the success of our program. I also wish to thank Anne Ling, who has kept the score and blown her whistle so magnificently beside me, and of course Ian Messiter, who created the game, and our producer, who makes sure we all toe the line so magnificently. And from me, Nicholas Parsons, we hope you've enjoyed just a minute and will want to tune in again the next time we take to the air and play this game. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye. Thank you.